Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Some of these texts, some of you folks are absolutely hilarious. Vince, I would be afraid to donate my body to science because they would just put me on display with a sign, missing link. Oh, my goodness. This person says here, does the Vince Coakley stiff come with that giant wolf he's always sicking on his neighbors? Come on, stop picking on Latte. On the police-involved shooting, maybe if he would have put the gun down after being told multiple times, he would still be alive. And on the subject of adoption, Vince, our sidekick, is wrong. It's cheaper to adopt kids by fostering. My wife and I have fostered the same three kids for 3 years. We've already spent $49,000 of our own money to adopt them. My goodness.
Goodness.
That is a lot of money. Whole lot of money. Let's go out to a call from Maurice in Monroe. Love the alliteration there. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. How are you?
All right, sir.
I just had an interesting story. I'm quite proud of my two brothers. Both of them have adopted children. One has two. The other one has a single child. And that single child has adopted five children.
Wow.
And in the meantime, he takes in children that have problems over the weekend from the Department of Social Services. And it seems like every weekend he gets one, two. And when they bring the children in, all of the other children get up to greet them.
Oh, my goodness.
And start their day and let them know where they are. Mm. And he's done this for probably the last 20 years.
My goodness.
And he just has a great time with all these children that he has fostered in some way or other. He has one now that's been with him about 6 months. And he says, I believe that one's going to stay. So it's going to be the sixth child he's adopted.
Wow.
But there are people like him out there that love children, and they love to adopt them and help them. And, of course, he lives in a gated community, and that gives him security for those children.
That is wonderful.
I just think it's the most wonderful thing in the world, and I just wanted people to know that they can help out tremendously with children out there that just need a little love and care.
You're absolutely right. Maurice, thank you so much for sharing that. That's awesome. What an inspirational story. Nancy out of Rock Hill, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to share a testimony with you. My husband and I were had decided we wanted to have children, and we pursued different agencies, and that was going to be a long time coming. And everything I did was, causing roadblocks, so to speak. And so I got on my knees and prayed faithfully to the Lord for this opportunity to open up to us as an adoption. And all these roadblocks went away. The doors were open that I could not begin to tell you about. There are just so many of them. And also, I would like to keep them private. But I got a call from a doctor who I had went to after deciding it was time to change doctor because my doctor was getting older. And I got that call on my 34th birthday, and it was concerning how would you like to adopt, and we were just thrilled. So that gift was definitely from God. There was no other way to explain it, and I just thank God every day for this young lady who was quite young who decided to give up her child. And I don't approve of abortions. I think there's just so much for me religiously that I oppose it. But I just want to share that that gift, even though they talk about the money, that's not the point. The point is that you spend money on a lot of things, but sometimes the gift you give a child is more important.
Yep. You've said it well, Nancy. Thanks very much for sharing that story. See, this is what's cool about what happens on the other end. We don't often hear about this, do we? The blessing that is provided to that family. And in this case, what a wonderful birthday gift, wouldn't you say? Let's go out to Mitch in Spartanburg. Good morning.
Hey, Vince, how are you?
All right, sir.
Everything that we talk about needs a little bit of reality, and I think adoption is a wonderful thing. My current wife, we've been married for almost 2 years, initially thought we couldn't have kids, and now we have a newborn that's about 3 weeks old.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. But the reality that goes along with adoption is my ex-wife, years after we were over and done with, she went out and indiscretionally had sex and got pregnant. And we still communicated, and she told me who the child's father was. And then she got locked up in jail for something.
Oh, boy.
And while she was in there, she decided to give the kid up for adoption. And she told DSS and everybody else that she didn't know who the child's father was. And the child's father had a court case going for a while, trying to get custody of his child. And so long as she would not say, and he didn't have the money to continue all the court cases, his child got adopted out.
My goodness. So you're saying that the father did not get the child?
Correct.
Oh, boy.
And, the sexual indiscretion nowadays is probably the biggest problem of this whole situation.
Yep. You're absolutely right, Mitch. And I think that, and I've said this before, I don't mind saying this. I think anytime we have those kinds of relationships, we ought to be aware of and make conscious decisions about the possibility we may bring a child into this world. I think it's foolish to have any kind of sexual involvement with someone without considering that and deciding on that in advance. And ideally, that needs to be in the context of marriage. Marriage. Some people consider that to be old-fashioned, but hey, this has worked for so long, and yet we're trying to come up with all these creative ways, and the left has created all of these new ways to redefine the family. Then what we have, frankly, is a big mess. Pretty hard to argue against that fact. Keith, you got about 30 seconds here out of Rock Hill. Good morning.
Well, I was going to tell a different side of it. Back when I was a child, there was an orphanage about 20 miles from my home. And my aunts and uncles and parents on the weekends would go get some of those children and bring them home and let them play with us all weekend long and feed them and clothe them and take them and get them clothes and stuff like that. And that was a ritual that was done with all my aunts and uncles with all those children. They were sometimes as many as 20 of those kids.
My goodness.
Down our way, playing with us as children.
That's pretty extraordinary. Thanks for sharing that story. And what a blessing that must have been for them and for you. Do you happen to miss any of today's Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson? Or if you've missed any of this broadcast, the Vince Coakley radio program, just go to WBT.com/shows and catch up on everything that's going on. Listen to WBT anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app. Back on the broadcast, as you know, just a few days ago, we've had the release now of the body cam video. And this controversy has been brewing for quite some time. A lot of strong emotions. A lot of strong emotions. People really still struggling, despite the release of the video. Still troubled by the way this entire situation has been gauged. The police chief, Kerr Putney, Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, has been having some conversations, and he's supposed to have another meeting this evening about the officer-involved shooting. This next one at Little Rock AME Zion Church, uptown. That is tonight. You know, and one of the things that, and I've said this before, I think one of the things we struggle with is the inability to fix certain things. I think people have an idea, you know, you put the right people in place and that somehow human nature is going to change. It's not going to change. There are people who are lawless. And there are people who are going to be lawless no matter what. And laws won't change that. Personnel will not change that. People will simply do wrong things. They'll do unwise things. The police chief has been listening to this community input, and it's gotten to the point where some are even calling for his resignation. Here is how the police chief responded to that.
I'll never quit. I could be fired, but I'll never quit. Our job is undone.
Pretty simple. Job is undone. What do you expect him to do? I mean, honestly, people are calling for him to resign, calling for the mayor to resign. What are they supposed to do? I don't think there are any good answers here. So you're welcome to comment on that, on where this goes from here. 2020, we've got a new presidential candidate in the mix. When I saw this, I thought, you know, when I even saw this guy was considering, I thought, this is a joke, right? In fact, the White House is looking at this as a joke. The press secretary for President Trump's re-election campaign said they are absolutely unconcerned about his first Republican challenger in the 2020 race. Said that they are taking Massachusetts Governor William Weld not seriously at all. We are unconcerned. We're focused on the Democrats. Which they should be. This is a joke. An absolute joke. William Weld. Really? And for those who are smart Alex, the people who are hardcore Kool-Aid drinkers, as you well know, I am not a Donald Trump Kool-Aid drinker. I'm supportive where the president's right, where he goes off the rails. I don't hesitate to disagree with him, but I will tell you this. This would be my qualification for somebody running against Donald Trump. It's got to be somebody who's ready to come and genuinely shake up all of Washington. Not just complain about the deep state, somebody who wants to do something about it. I'm looking for somebody who's going to outdo Trump. If it's just going to be another establishment Republican coming along because they want to, you know, basically the only thing they have to offer is being nice. If that's all they've got, stay home. Don't waste money. I mean, it's really that simple. Don't waste your time or your money. It ain't going nowhere. Speaking of the presidential race, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is going to visit Spartanburg and Greenville, discussing education, criminal justice reform, poverty, and other topics. Spartanburg event, 5:30 Thursday at Mount Moriah Baptist Church, hosted by the South Carolina Black Legislative Caucus. So that is what's going on there. Friday, the West End Community Development Center. That's on Vargery Street in Greenville. I'm sure you're totally excited. There's also a rally at the Peace Center Amphitheater in Greenville, 5 p.m. And again, this is Friday, So events, Greenville, Spartanburg. So if you're into Bernie Sanders, you can feel the burn. Boy, that should be exciting. Really exciting stuff there. Now is probably a good opportunity to take a look at the day in history before time gets away from us. As we head down to our upstate studio in Greenville and Mr. Reitzel. Good morning, Lonzo.
Good morning, Vince.
We have a total of 5 questions for you. Beginning in 1492, that's a big hint. This person signed a deal with Spain to explore the West Indies. Who was that person?
Christopher Columbus.
That is correct. 1929. This famous baseball player married Claire Hodgson, a former member of the Ziegfeld Follies, whatever that is. Way before my time. Who is this famous baseball player who got married in 1929?
See, I know what the Ziegfeld Follies are. I'm surprised you don't. I'm going to go Babe Ruth.
You are correct. 1929. 1937. We are introduced to a cartoon character. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry. You know, maybe I am
Lost
on the right
clues,
track.
Man.
Yeah, that was kind of a lame clue.
That wasn't good.
You can say that you might call me a quack because of this new character introduced on Porky's Duck Hunt. Who was it?
Daffy Duck.
You are correct.
And you were doing Porky Pig. You were not
doing that. Yeah, I was getting the characters confused there. I had to backtrack there. This person found guilty of murdering Robert Kennedy, 1969. Who was it? Robert Kennedy.
I know. I always get these backwards.
Well, if you get the first name, you'll get the second name because they're the same. There you go. In 1970, they made a movie out of this. This spacecraft landed safely. It was supposed to go to the moon, but Houston, we have a problem.
Apollo 13?
You are correct. 1970 when that happened. So that is pretty impressive. Good job there, Lonzo.
It's not impressive. It's expected.
Yeah. All righty. We are actually out of time, and so we don't have time to talk about any crazy stories. If we are able to do that, we'll try to come back to that a little bit later on in the broadcast. Have a great day there, Lonzo. And we, coming up, we'll talk about other presidential candidates, including a Democrat who is getting a lot of media attention. He's become kind of a media darling. And if he doesn't end up in the presidential race, might he divert to another race in 2020? We'll talk about that much more coming up. And make no mistake about it, I think he could be among the most dangerous candidates to face President Trump. And I'll tell you why. I think, and I've thought this for a long time, I think there is a desperate desire for people for civility. And you got to hear me out on this. It doesn't matter what his views and opinions and beliefs are. I think there's a certain level of fatigue among the American people for all the strife and the division. Now, you can disagree with me all you want, but I think the reality is it's there. And I think this kind of candidate perhaps poses the biggest threat. Now, there are some of these other candidates who will be glad to get down in the mud and try to play Trump's game. They're not going to win that game. See, this is what I don't think people understand. You're not going to out-Trump Trump. But if people are looking for a change in the atmosphere, I do think this is the area where the president's vulnerable. The extent of that vulnerability will depend on a lot of things. This is why I've said, you know, it's an eternity getting to 2020, the presidential contest. November 2020. You know how much time that is from now? We're talking about more than 18 months. So this guy's characterized himself, Mayor Pete, as a pragmatist who wants to bring generational change to Washington. Not ready to get into many policy specifics, but get a load of this. He wants to expand the Supreme Court and get rid of the Electoral College. Now, this is why I've said, make no mistake about it. There is nothing appealing about this guy to a conservative like myself. Nothing. He is a very well-packaged leftist. And I think these are the most dangerous leftists. You'd almost prefer somebody who's coming out and has a nasty disposition. Somebody like Joe Biden, for instance, who's a total moron. And a knucklehead who's going to provide all kinds of gaffes on the campaign trail. Or the old coot Bernie Sanders. You know, it looks like that character from, who is that character on the Muppets?
One of the, Statler and Waldorf?
One of those guys. I mean, come on. These guys are no threat. They really aren't. Anyway, Buttigieg, he is taking direct aim at capitalism. Here is just a segment of his conversation in a recent interview.
When you say, for example, there'll be a radical change under a Buttigieg's presidency, what does that mean? Because a lot of people, I think, have caught into your message because it feels reassuringly moderate in some respects.
Interesting.
Well, first of all, tone really matters, right? So even as we're contemplating serious and sometimes profound structural reforms, we can do it in a way that doesn't make everyone feel like our hair is on fire. Look, this moment should not be underestimated in terms of its seriousness. I think in many ways we're still underreacting. But we don't have to react to it in a way that alienates others, in a way that makes it feel like there's such screaming that you can't tell what's even going on around
us. That makes you a clear contrast to the president. And I'm interested, Mayor, if you make it all the way, how would you run against him? Would you ignore? Would you give him a nickname? He'll give you one.
Yeah, I
mean, really, how do you use that temperament versus his?
Yeah, such an important question. I think the way we have to approach it is, on one hand, when he says something that isn't true, we have to say so. When he does something wrong, we got to call it out. But then we got to move on very quickly, because a really robust message for my party can't be one that revolves around the personality of somebody from the other party. We got to have a message that will make as much sense in 2040 as it does in 2020. And that means it's not so much about him as it's about you.
Do you think Hillary Clinton did that too much?
You know, I think part of it was the media environment. There are also elements of our strategy, our party strategy in 2016, that now, with the benefit of hindsight, I think we should adjust going into 2020. A lot of it was, I think a lot of Democrats were so horrified by who the Republicans were nominating that we almost forgot that saying don't vote for the other guy because he's terrible, even if it's convincing, is not the same thing as having a message.
I'm just interested. You're purposefully not using his name. You didn't do it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Are we going to continue to see that?
I mean, his name will probably escape my lips every now and then. But the core of this idea is it's not about him. Mm. Frankly, I think somebody like him should not have been able to get close. And I think a lot of Republicans would say the same thing. The conditions that made this presidency possible are a lot bigger than one man. They are a sense of deep disruption in our economy, our society, our politics. And I think part of it is a symptom of the way in which our political system can no longer deliver results that Americans believe in. Even things we think of as divisive, like immigration, which is divisive. But most Americans actually agree on the outlines of a bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform. There's so many issues like that where there's a rough sense among the American people about what to do, and the American political system can't deliver. That leads to crazy outcome.
A crazy outcome. Whatever that looks like. Mark my words. The media is going to get fully behind this guy for all kinds of reasons, including the possibility. Can you imagine what this would look like if he were to become the president? One of those elements, having a first man. The media would absolutely salivate at that idea. Transformative change. You know that, and I know that. This is what they are trying to accomplish. And if that doesn't work out, there's a backup plan. We'll tell you what that could be for this guy. News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT invites you to join us for an in-depth debate between the North Carolina District 9 Republican primary candidates Tuesday, May 7th, 6 to 8 p.m., Union County Agriculture and Events Center in Monroe. For details, go to WBT.com/events. Back on the final stretch of our broadcast today, let's go out to a call in Duncan and Rick. Good morning.
Hey, Vance, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I had thought it was a interesting point that happened during the Fox News Bernie debate when Bernie asked people how many private insurance or how many people in the audience had private health insurance, and people raised their hands, and then he asked how many of those people would choose to give them up for a government-run policy, and surprisingly, a lot of them were cheering and saying yes, because in my opinion, there's a lot of private health care policies that are pretty crappy. Trump is not going to talk about health care in 2020. The GOP lost the House in part because of the health care debacle, and instead he's doubling down on the threat from the southern border. My opinion is that the health care really is a bigger issue than the caravans we've been hearing about for a year. And I think Trump's making a mistake for not following up on some of his promises of the best health care ever.
And what would that look like, by the way?
Pardon me?
What would that look like?
Well, I don't know. I would do what most business has done is benchmark what other countries do, take the best of each country, put it all together, and use that.
Okay, fair enough. Appreciate your call there, Rick. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about this issue because, I mean, think about it. If you're going to come up with any plan that's going to get passed, you're going to have to get it with cooperation from Democrats. I mean, let's be honest. What is that going to look like? That's not going to be pretty at all. By the way, the other big story, tomorrow's the big day, the release of the Mueller report with its redactions. Some final observations from the text line. So Bernie is going to Mount Moriah Church in Spartanburg. No disrespect to the church. But he isn't spreading his message. He's surrounding himself with an echo chamber. Be a man and come do your speaking at the beacon. Hey, that's pretty good. Vince, the only thing good about Bugaboo, he's a veteran. His policy views are horrible. They're pushing him because he's gay. Well, you remember what I said before the break. The left will absolutely love this. They salivate the idea of putting a first man in the White House. Seriously. This is the kind of transformative thing that they just absolutely dream of. Vince, what he said about why Trump was elected is basically why every president gets elected. Think about it. In one similar way, shape, or form, that's how every president gets elected. Vince, enlighten me, please. I wonder, is it going to take you until 2 or 3 days before the election to figure out who you're going to vote for this time around? That guy's an idiot. Trump just said in 2020, Republicans are going to be the party of health care. Okay. Wow, Rick, a.k.a. Never Trumper, the name he gave himself, giving advice to Trump. Whatever he is for, Trump should be against. Everything will just be fine. Welder friend here, Trump got China to drop its 25% tariff on oil. Trump 2020, make liberals cry again. Ha ha ha. Let us go out to a call from Jimmy in Mineral Springs. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say the last caller, he said that why didn't Trump address the health care? He did. And Mitch McConnell told him it wasn't going to happen after the 2020 election. So, there you are.
So this doesn't disappoint you, I assume.
Well, no.
Okay, that's fair enough, Jimmy. Let's quickly go out to Gene. Got about 30 seconds, Gene.
Well, anyway, a lot to say here, brother, but look at the panoply and the talk of the Democrat Party candidates. I am now convinced they really don't want a president. They want a psychiatric caregiver. They want love. You see this Buttigieg? I want love, right.
Now, having said that, I mean, you can dismiss this, but is there not a legitimate concern and interest among the American people for a very different kind of conversation and interaction?
Well, if that's the case, we don't have a country anymore.
No, see, I think is that not a false binary choice? Do you have to be, at least the perception, a hard-nosed, obnoxious person?
I'll give you an answer. Listen, brother, I don't want a man who's going to walk around who's gender confused, loves compassion, wants to give everything. I want a chief executive who knows we live in a hostile world. Do you gabish? Understand?
Hey, we got it there, Gene. Appreciate your call. Let's go out to Greg in Charlotte. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, Vince. You know that Mayor Pete, his biggest problem, you know what his biggest problem is?
I'm almost afraid to hear this. Go ahead.
He doesn't think straight.
Oh, goodness. All righty, Greg. Hey, appreciate your call. My goodness. I don't think we have time for another call. With that, we will move on. But it's been great talking with you again. And Lord willing, we will do it again tomorrow. By the way, for those who are praying about my letter, I sent it out during the last commercial break. So we'll keep you posted. Any case, have yourselves a great day and God bless you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.